forward, you people. Starship Rocancha with Anna DeBlantis off for another day of broadcast. And so we got Jude Fralick in the newsroom. You got Violetta Pattermedic on the traffic notes. And you have
K-Pow on bass.
No big deal.
Sports doesn't write itself.
K-Pow. What time's your next traffic?
Top and bottom of the hour.
Top and the bottom of the hour is K-Pow.
Jeez. Oh, gosh.
1-2 punch.
Yeah.
Sounds very powerful. Alluring.
Oh, man.
Can't get this type of sports anywhere else.
I did hear a promo running on this very radio station that was very, that had that sort of thing going on in
for
the White Sox. It was
like us.
It's like your baseball update. What is it? What's it called?
Powell at the Park podcast.
Yeah, Powell at the Park podcast. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and it finishes with a pow, 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 pow.
Pow.
Oh.
So I'm like, wow. Huh. Wow, you got something cool there, man.
Yeah, you might need to use that when you go out on dates to the bars.
You know who I am?
Take a listen to this.
Actually, take my little box with you, like this thing I'm using, and just do the talk to your date. Well, you know, in your next, it's just lunch date.
Yeah.
Hello, ladies. By the way, I hope you listen to my K-Pow PowerPort. Top of the bottom of the hour.
I think they'd be freaked out, scared out of their minds.
They'd be lined up to leave.
Would you like a house salad? Be a good place to start. You want a house salad? We'll start with that and make sure we get an appetizer together.
Oh, blue cheese?
Well, the last thing I would want to do is have something you're not having it, and you have it, and I'm not having it.
I could just see Kevin, though, on the dick. Are you going to finish that? Can I have some of that?
Well, am I going to let the beef go to waste? I mean, if I could order a steak and not finish it, I'll eat it.
Are you eating those fries? Have it more than have it. Finish them all for you.
I don't want the food to go to waste.
I know, DJs on a date are always bad.
I can only imagine.
Midway through. You want to listen to my newest podcast? It's really good this week.
You know, I'll tell you something. Did you hear at 4:40 when I played a Fog Hat song and hit the post exactly right?
So impressive.
If you're not impressed.
That's like a good day for, you know, most of the guys on radio.
If you're not impressed, listen at 5:20 tomorrow.
Your chance to win big.
You think this dinner was fun? Wait till the concert I sent you to.
I got passes, ladies.
Backstage.
And there'll be sex at 11:20.
Wow. What? Just jump right to the point.
Right to the point, yeah.
If you play your cards right.
Yeah, if you play right. God.
Your caller number seven.
All right, listen. Thank you. The world is the world. You know, the world's coming apart at the edges, and we're making fun of baby DJs. I know.
Ridiculous.
Thank you for that, by the way. I needed that humor.
It's a little It's a little wacky. All right, David Axelrod's going to be with us in just a few minutes. We got Mr. Skilling is going to join us almost immediately here to talk about the beautiful weather that has descended upon us.
It's spectacular.
It really is. And the trees, this is like a perfectly beautiful spring day in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
80 degrees and the trees are just budding, so the fun colors are coming out. And then, you know, it's only a matter of, it'll be super gorgeous, lush within a week or two. And then about a month from now, that's when the leaves fall off the tree and there's like a weird, like, set of holes in them and you're not sure how they got in there. And sometimes it's a bullet hole, other times it's a little insects. I don't know. And then the trees, like, by mid-July start to cough because of the smog.
I woke up to the fresh smell of cut grass. It was wonderful.
Did you cut the grass?
Right.
No, it was the neighbor. Who's really cut our grass.
Who cut the grass? Wait a second. But don't you live? Do you live in a street where there's grass?
There's some grass. Yeah,
like in the parkway kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's a little patch, but it's you can still smell it.
She lives in the city. Mm-hmm. I mean, we all live in the city. Mm-hmm. That the smell of freshly mown grass is not really a.
That's not something you get all the time.
It was very faint, but it just right.
Yeah, you have to kind of get down there and put your head in it like a dog.
I put it on my Instagram too. which you can't smell on that. So
yeah, not yet. They're working on that.
I planted flowers and put them in my window boxes. Very exciting. It's time.
City life
just feels.
I planted three flowers on my balcony.
I know, and I'm going to take care of them. Gosh darn it. Keep them alive all summer.
I got my plant from IKEA.
I gotta pull all my Christmas stuff out of my planter right now. That's just still in there.
It's time.
Yeah, including the Merry Christmas sign. I think we might be. I took the president very very seriously though when he said we got to bring Christmas back. So I kept it all the way into mid May.
You're just early for next year.
Yeah, or that. Let's go that way. All right, let's find out from Judy what's coming up at the bottom of the hour from the WGN newsroom. You thought of me when you said nuttiness, didn't you?
I did. I thought of you and your band that you pretended to have. That was your band name? Mr.
Assorted Nuttiness.
Assorted Nuttiness. Fly to the front of the line at LitFest June 9th to 10th with a Fest Pass. Get yours before they're gone. PrintersRowLitFest.org/FestPass.
There you go. All right, here he is. Mr. Tom Skilling.
Yes.
Brought to you by the way, very important to mention, brought to you by our very dear friends at Permaseal Basement Systems.
Yes.
We like that.
That is very important.
Very important. Mm-hmm. We had to mention at the end of our segment yesterday. We should mention it all throughout our segment.
Almost escaped us yesterday, but did not.
They're paying a lot of dough for you. Mm-hmm. Hey, let me ask.
Happy Tuesday,
Thank you,
by the way. It is gorgeous.
Gorgeous
out there.
Tuesday.
Traffic's awful, but the weather is gorgeous.
You know, I can't help you, Tom.
I know.
Like you can't change the
I know, Violetta. I'll tell you, I know you're in there plugging for us all.
Well, you know, one of the big traffic problems is like two blocks from here. If you could just go out and move that scaffold off of Michigan Avenue right now, that would be helpful, Violetta. Do that for us.
Solve a lot of problems.
Yeah. Yes. It is beautiful, though.
Gorgeous.
As much as I wanted to complain about April, because April does, it was bad.
It was.
But really, we had a pleasant enough winter in that
we did.
For people who like snow, you got snow, but then for people who hate it, it went away quickly.
Oh, Ro, you look at the past year, the vast majority of days have been above average, and April was a true anomaly. I mean, the coldest in 111 years, but look what we've done since then. We opened up May as the warmest opening to a May in 26 years. There'd only been 3 May 1st any warmer. And now we've got 5 80-degree plus temperatures on the books. Typically, by now, you have 3. So we've kind of come out of that cold April, and we're running ahead of normal in the 80s. And the warming in recent weeks has pushed the Lake Michigan water temperature above what it was a year ago. So we've managed to warm the lake, and that pays rich dividends as we continue through the remainder of spring.
Mm-hmm.
You look toward the summer, we're still getting indications of a warmer than normal summer, at least odds leaning in that direction right now.
Isn't it funny? We always think that there's sort of an inertia to all of this,
yes.
But there isn't really when it comes to the air masses that are moving across us. And that's the interesting piece of this. People go, you don't really have spring in Chicago. We literally did not have spring in Chicago.
No.
We went right from snow on the ground to 80 degrees and it within a week, and it is now, and the trees are now just starting to catch up.
Just starting,
they are.
Aren't they?
I
just
know.
The last week they started to bloom.
Isn't it amazing the speed with which they've come out? And what a difference. You know, it was so bland looking long. To see, magnolias in full bloom and mm-hmm. all this wonderful vegetation.
Yes.
And
it's a little allergic-y out there. I don't know.
Well, that has happened. The allergies have kicked up.
Well, that's true.
But 2 weeks ago, I was out with my daughter, and she said something like, Mommy, why is it still winter?
Yeah.
I'm like, it does feel that way. She said that there was nothing on the trees.
Is it my imagination, or did this seem like a drabber early spring than we normally start
to get foliage, and I watch this. This is part of my insanity.
Yeah.
We start to get foliage by the third week of April. Sometimes if you get a really warm April, we've had that a couple of years, you can start to see it maybe in the first or second week of April, but you start to see it bud, but it holds. These trees, have not been here for 100 years not knowing how to do this. And so they wait, and it's about somewhere between the 15th and the 20th you start to see the buds come out.
Mm-hmm.
So we're about 2 weeks behind
in terms
of where this would normally be. But It's like rushing. It seems like the trees are like, all right,
we got to get going, right? No, it's so true. It's like 2 days ago, none of these ones here along Michigan Avenue were blooming, and now you look around, you see some of them, and
it's
darn near full bloom.
Marvelous.
It's almost like you could stare at them, and it looks like time-lapse photography. You can actually see them blooming if you just stand there and stare at it like for a minute.
It's true, Ro. I think they've come out faster than any year I can remember, and we've all been through a number of them here, so I think we're on pretty safe ground on that.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to hear somebody like out of Morton Arboretum or up at Chicago Botanic Garden talk about this, because they could quantify this, no doubt. Well, it's interesting, too. We were looking at the record books, and a third of Mays produce a 90-degree temperature before they're over. Now, we don't see anything like that yet, but this would be the month that would do something like that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens here. Every one of the next 15 days, and I've poured over all the model stuff, continues to come in above average. Mm-hmm. There'll be a wind off the lake Friday and Saturday, cooling the lake, and there'll be a big north-south temperature spread across the area, and there'll be thunderstorms in there. But by Mother's Day, there's some indication this rain activity may settle south downstate, give us a partly sunny afternoon, low 70s, and then we go back into lovely above normal temperatures or continue with that right through next week and the week that follows. So
a scorcher would not be the worst thing ever happened to this town.
No,
because this right now this summer is this summer is already there's been, just sociologically, if you're watching this, you know, you had 86 people shot. Mm. 86 over the weekend because of the first night's weekend.
That's the problem. You know, this gorgeous weather, the only one of the downsides to it is this violence.
Right.
You know, we have police who have stopped over the years in our commissary to have a bite to eat in the evening. And I used to say to them, not so much anymore because we don't really have an active commissary back there. But I
it'd be very depressing for them to come in, just sit there and wait. Thomas Sewell walking by and going, hey, you guys want to be in my audience?
You guys want to go in the vending machine?
Yeah, right. But I said to them, I said, you know, my sense is that the crazies come out, you know, when the weather gets nice. Oh, they said, absolutely. There's no question about it.
Yeah.
The domestic disputes go up, the shootings outside. So it's a shame that that's, you know, goes hand in hand with this lovely weather. Yeah.
Well, it was the most violent week of the year, and it was one of the warmest we've seen for sure.
Yeah.
So that does seem to go hand in hand.
There it is, Anna. Yeah, the proof right there.
Yeah, and and they see this on social media. It's the most amazing thing in the world. Because now there is, if you go to, like, I think it's Chicago Scanner, their Twitter page, when there's an incident, they put the scanner traffic up on Twitter in a narrative, like, you know, that's so, you know, at 2:15 a.m., this is what the scanner said. Mm-hmm. And then they put social media postings from the people who are around or knew the victims or knew the shooters or whatever up, and they're all right there.
Yeah.
And these people are describing what the beef was about, what was, I mean, it's crazy. This all
it's
plays
real
out
time, right?
In social media, in these social networks of the, you know, the people who are involved in this kind of life that are that leads to this.
Yeah.
And it is amazing how it's like they are living in a parallel universe.
Yeah.
And that they don't see, it's like the White Walkers or something in Game of Thrones. It's like there's a whole separate thing going on, and they don't see the people outside their world, and the people outside their world are afraid of them.
Yeah.
But they don't, but they're not really interacting with them. You know, it's an important element, I think. You know, there's obviously there's carjacking and you know, robbery and stuff downtown, and people, you know, try to come down and do this, but like out in the neighborhoods where the real shootings are happening, it is almost as if it's two parallel universes that where they can see each other.
Yeah,
it's crazy. It's insane.
It is, and it's heart-wrenching each night to watch our newscast, and you see inconsolable people who have lost children or something like that, night in and night out, and you wonder at what point is somebody, you know, are these people carrying this stuff out going to say, hey, you know, is there even a shred of humanity in these people that would shoot a little, you know, start shooting around a people and accidentally hit a little boy.
Right.
That,
or into a park that's crowded. We've seen that. Or outside of a school.
Or sitting out on a porch or in a living room and having a bullet come through the window. It's insanity.
It really is. Yeah. But we were talking about the nice weather. And so right now, downtown, it's beautiful today and there's nice weather.
And the flowers are out. This does breathe new life into all of us. It's gorgeous. The people send these little pictures of little ducklings and goslings around. And, you know, it's kind of nice to see that.
Yeah. Until mom or dad gets mad at
you. Say, oh, isn't that something? So it brings out a side of Micah that
Right.
was fun to watch.
Who wants Mooshu duck for dinner?
Oh, Ro. Why do you have to corrupt it? We were feeding little goslings by the lake over the weekend. It was kind of really fun
to see.
It was so cute.
It is.
And then Ro thinks they're dangerous animals. Not get anywhere near. He keeps talking about that video of that golfer getting, like, attacked.
Kevin. K-Pal.
I'm here.
Come to my defense here.
So you
Canada
guys
goose.
Were attacked on a golf course by Canada, Gosling?
Oh, my God. There was that video. You've got to look it up.
You got to keep your head on a swivel at a golf course. You turn around and they're like their wings are spread out and they're coming full speed ahead at you.
Well, it could be argued that this was once their natural habitat.
That's
you know?
Right.
No, it was
Thank
not.
You,
it was all, it, as long
you,
as I've been alive, it's been the ninth hole.
Oh,
and
is
I will
that
tell
right?
you, and they come in and they are like, and wah, wah, wah.
So when the world was created, there were golf courses.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. That goose wasn't here either.
Yeah.
Right? I've been here longer than that goose. The golf course has been here longer than
but
that goose.
But their instincts are to come back to that area, and they probably built condos in the place where they were putting their nests.
Oh,
so they
got
to come over to your golf course.
How many
just
of
deal
them have been
that?
Hit by a golf ball? You know, I'm sure they're happy about
I'd
that.
Take the long way to the green where I see the flock of geese guarding it.
You run into the golf cart, and they're like, I'm going to jump in the golf cart too, you know, jerk. Right. You know, it's like they're – but they get very, very protective, and they just don't like the idea. It's a weird – and let me just tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
They are very prolific eaters. And poopers.
And poopers.
Yeah, well,
their
that's
poops
true.
Are bigger
yeah.
than my dog.
I was going to point out the latter, too. I'm trying to think how to do it diplomatically and politely.
All right, I got
to
go. We got to go. We got to
right.
go. That's it. They've just been told we got to go. All right, thank you, Tom.
Tom, well, good talking
and
to you.
Good to talk to you, Anna. I'll tell you, you guys make
one
my
step
day.
Too far. One step too far. Thank you, Tom.
See you guys.
All right.
America will not be held hostage to nuclear blackmail. We will not allow American cities to be threatened with destruction. And we will not allow a regime that chants death to America to gain access to the most deadly weapons on Earth. Today's action sends a critical message. The United States no longer makes empty threats. When I make promises, I keep them.
That's the president today announcing mm-hmm. he's withdrawing from the Iran nuclear deal, something that he had said he was going to do. But it was interesting. There was a little bit of a carrot that came out after the stick. David Axelrod is with us. You know him from the mm-hmm. X-Files. You know him from CNN. You know him from, well, I don't know. You've seen his face on TV either representing or trying to run out of a room if things are not going so well in local and national and international political
I've
scenarios.
I've run from many, many rooms.
Who has not?
Yes.
I have too.
Very wise.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sometimes
you
it's better.
Know when to run.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As Warren Buffett once said, the smartest guys know when to run away. All right. So
I thought that was Kenny Rogers.
Both. But I think he got it from Warren Buffett.
Uh-huh.
All right. So there's no situation too big to run away from, he said. Let's
got to know when to hold him and
right.
when to fold him.
Yeah. All right. Now, where were we? Okay. Iran. The nuclear deal. So he walks away from the nuclear deal. When you hear that particular summation as he just gave it, I think there's a lot of people. His base obviously is going to go along with him, but I think there are a lot of moderates and people who go, well, yeah, no, they have been screaming death to America,
right?
And
it's good reason to keep them from getting nuclear weapons,
right? Exactly.
And they were months away from having a nuclear weapon before this agreement took place,
and you were there in the middle of all of that.
97% of their uranium was shipped out of the country. They mothballed their. One of their major reactors, 13,000 other implements needed for production were destroyed. And they have the most intrusive inspections that we've seen in the history of these WMD inspections. All of that is threatened to go away now. So the question is, what is the alternative plan?
So I want to.
Boris Johnson, the foreign minister of Britain, said there is no plan B.
That's your answer. There is no plan B. But back to their plan A, which was this: if they were there was a piece of misinformation out about this that I think was particularly devastating, and I'm not proud. We brought it up here, but I'm not very proud of sort of along the national media spectrum. Of pounding away at this, there was this whole idea that within 7 to 9 years they could, or 7 years from now, 9 years from the beginning of the deal, they could have started to enrich uranium, and everybody went, oh, well, they could build a bomb. They can't. The amount of uranium they were allowed to enrich starting 9 years from now is 1/100th the amount that you would need to build a single low powered nuclear device, let alone, and it was all for. Nuclear reactors for electricity.
Right.
That and it was verifiable, and it was in the deal that they were forever forbidden from building and enriching uranium for a nuclear weapon.
Right.
But that was, but you know, people weren't pounding on that.
Listen, I first of all, I'm not Pollyannish about the Iranians. That they are a malign force in the in the Middle East, and they are exporters of terrorism, and they do support Hezbollah, and they have been propping up Assad, and all of that is true. That's not really the issue. The issue is, given all that, aren't we better off with them not having the ability to produce a bomb than having the ability to produce a bomb? And the United States breaking this agreement, which is what the president did today, gives them a green light if they want to.
Will they?
I don't know. I don't know. And I don't think anybody knows. They say they will. And we'll find out if the inspectors are ejected from the country. If that would be a bad sign. They do. You know, a lot depends on how the Europeans behave, and the Europeans say they're going to stick to the agreement. So Iran will have to make a decision. But there's a lot of risk associated. I will say this: I don't think the president's motivation was that. I don't think he's thought about all the vagaries of national security strategy here. He made a promise during the election, and this is good for the base, plays well with the base. I think he's worried now not about what happens 10 years from now, but what happens in November. He's being told that he has a laggard base, and he's trying to do things to torque them up. And, you know, since the first of the year, it seems to me he's been sort of Trump unchained in the sense that he seems to be charting his own course here. Secretary Mattis said he thought it was in the interest of the U.S. to stay in the agreement. All of his intelligence people contradicted what he said today and said that Iran has lived by the terms of the agreement. So I think that he is doing this as a political matter, and the target was not the Middle East, it was the Middle West and other regions of the U.S.
But it has other implications. You have Secretary of State Mike Pompeo on the way to North Korea. You have a deal trying to be struck there, U.S. prisoners being released, other things going on in the world.
Potentially, the hopes that happens.
Yeah. And you wonder if this is telegraphing to North Korea, well, you're backing out of this agreement here, or exiting it. And I know it wasn't this president, but it's still the U.S.
Yeah.
Well, who's to say we come to an agreement with
Absolutely.
You now?
Listen, it is a complete violation of norms, which is something that Trump does often, to pull out of an agreement in this way. And it does send a negative signal, not just to North Korea, but to anyone else who strikes a deal with the U.S. It raises the question as to whether the U.S. will keep that agreement. And I will say this. If you look at the history of Donald Trump and his career, he made a business model out of breaking agreements and contracts and understandings. So this is the way he's operated all his life. He's just never operated at this level of gravity. And I'm not sure he appreciates the level of gravity that he's operating at right now.
He may have broken down a dam here that he didn't like, and he certainly made he made it a really, really important campaign tool for himself. This is the worst deal ever because of the money that was returned and the cash and all that, which was their money in the first place that we'd been holding since the revolution in 1979. But beyond that, they want it in cash. However that worked, the optics of it were bad. Mm-hmm. So the president played on that, certainly. The issue is now China. China stopped buying oil from Iran.
Right?
Oil prices are spiking as a result of all of this. They've been spiking for the last month in anticipation of it. They will spike today. The question is, does China start to buy oil from Iran and build them back up? And is China really sitting back and watching all of this and seeing that America on the international stage, trade stage, is stumbling here because of its own internal
politics? Well, I don't think there's any question that we've created enormous openings for China. One of the ironies is that Donald Trump campaigned. I mean, how many times did he say China in every campaign speech? He made China.
It wasn't China, actually. But
I understand that. Separately. But on a family show.
Yeah.
He and yet the things he's done have so favored China, starting with pulling out of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which has created a huge void that China has stepped into. But all over the world, the withdrawal of American leadership has given opportunities to China to step in, and China's taking advantage of those opportunities. And one of my great concerns about what's going on right now is that we are ceding all of this space to China, and China is very aggressively filling it. And you know how they handle this. They were obviously involved in this this Iran deal. How all this moves forward is a big question.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you to put your strategist hat on for a second? Mm-hmm. And let's look ahead to November. Do you think that Democrats are overly confident?
Well, I do think there's this assumption that this wave is coming and that Democrats will certainly take over the House. You know, I think that there a little bit of caution is due. President's approval rating has crept up a little in the last few months. I do think it's partly because he has returned completely to who he was as a candidate, calling all the shots himself, being completely impolitic, and that sent a signal to some of his core supporters that here's the guy we voted for. Now, his core supporters aren't necessarily the ones who are going to make the difference in these House elections. But, I think that there are many, many indications that would, if you were objectively looking at them, say Republicans are in real jeopardy of losing the House, but it's not a gimme. And we are living in a dynamic political environment. So, you know, I think Democrats ought to be vigilant. But you know, if you look at the 90 elections that have taken place since November 6th of 2008 or whatever the date was, they generally you've seen Democratic turnout above about 13% higher than for Hillary Clinton. We've seen 37 legislative seats change hands. We saw what happened in Virginia. We saw what happened, obviously, in Pennsylvania in that special in March. There are a lot of things that would say to you, yeah, this is going to be a problem for the White House and for the Republicans. And historically, you would expect that.
David Axelrod, The Axe Files, look for it on your where you find fine podcasts on the airwebs. And, of course, on CNN as well. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Good to be with you guys.
Right now, Judy Padlock tells us what's coming up at the top of the hour. With Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Song always reminds me of Rock Band. Did you ever play that?
No. Well, I've tried to play it once.
It's so fun.
I'm so not good at it.
Yeah. I played the drums. I got pretty good.
I wasted many hours in college playing Guitar Hero and Rock Band.
Yeah. It'll waste a lot of time.
Good times.
Fear do you remember that song? Was that on
this one? I can't remember. They all blur together.
Okay.
It's Weezer.
Blue, red, yellow, oh, blue, red, right. yellow.
Yeah.
Faster, no, slower.
I was pretty sick on the video game guitar for a while.
Yeah. Just
my hand-eye coordination not there.
Yeah. Let's ask the congressman. Congressman yeah. M. Kinzinger, the official congressman of the Roe Contra with Anna DeVlantis. Uh-huh. Are you, you ever play Guitar Hero?
Or Rock Band?
I've tried it, but I'm actually pretty bad at it, so yeah. I can't say it's a regular thing.
Yeah, I know he's.
Yeah, I've tried to play it. It's really awful. It's tough to do.
You ever play Flight Simulator? I wonder how good you are at that, even though you're a pilot.
I bet you're pretty rock solid.
Really
on that.
Good. I'm the best.
I'll bet. Hey, all right. Let's talk about something serious here now. Let's act like we're on the radio.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. The Iranian nuclear deal. What is your reaction to the president pulling out of the deal?
Well, you know, look. I think had he stayed in but had follow-up actions, I'd have been okay with it. But I think this is the right thing to do. And I know, you know, a lot of people are taken aback and they think it's going to mean World War III. It's not. I actually had a call with State Department about an hour ago and asked Undersecretary Shannon what was going to happen. And without going into a lot of details, because I don't know what can be said or not, and I always err on the side of safety, I think they have a plan. And the plan is, you know, way to get our European allies on board to strengthen the situation we find ourselves in with Iran and negotiate hopefully something better that actually is all encompassing. So these, you know, the folks that say, well, you should do a separate deal to deal with their behavior in Syria and everywhere else. I'm going to tell you, you can't do that because there's just not going to be any pressure. There's going to be no sticks against Iran to do that. So the only way you could do that is through military action, which we don't want to do. So I think this is, I mean, look, it's, you know, diplomacy is art, so it's not a guarantee of what's going to happen, but I think this is our best chance to get something that broadly encompasses Iran, and we're not facing a nuclear Iran in 2026.
When President Obama first, when this passed, they created this deal, he said this is the every pathway to a nuke had been shut down and that this isn't built on trust. We're not going to try to trust the Iranians who have lied to us. It's built on verification. Do you believe those two things ended up being true as we saw this deal in place?
Not really. First off, the verification side of things, you know, there are areas, there are military sites that we don't have access to. In some cases, Iran was allowed to send its own soil samples in. Are there areas they're complying? Sure. But at 2026 is the point at which they can resume a lot of their nuclear activity. Now, there is a caveat.
Whoa. Hold on, though. This is something that troubles me because this is a piece of misinformation that's been out there this entire time. Yes, they're allowed to continue some of their nuclear activity. But the difference between radioactive enrichment for a power plant is exponentially different than what you would need to build a bomb. It's hundreds of the amount of enrichment that they would need to build a bomb. So this was not, they were specifically prohibited. And I just want this out because this is true. And this is one of the moments that we're having here in American history that troubles me, is that we're spending too much time living in an altered world. When the president says, hey, they could have built a bomb in 9 years or 7 years, that's not true. They were specifically prohibited from ever enriching enough uranium to start a nuclear weapons program again. And so to say that this was about stopping them from nuclear weapons is on its face false. What is true is that if you want to get them to negotiate to stop what they're doing in Syria or the other exporting of terrorism and mayhem around the world that they do, then why don't we just call it what it is and say that's what we're really trying to stop here, not a nuclear program?
No, it is. And I think we're saying that. But the nuclear program, yeah, are they prohibited from sprinting to weapons-grade uranium? Theoretically, but there are points within the next 8 years in which they're allowed to do some re-enrichment again. They're allowed in 2016 2026, a lot of those restrictions are lifted. So yeah, we still say it's only for peaceful purposes, as if that was their whole purpose in pursuing nuclear stuff in the first place. But that gets them even closer to the point at which they decide we're going to get out of the deal and sprint to a nuclear weapon faster than the United States and the West could even know we're really doing it. So that's a concern. But yes, I think on the broader thing, I've always said the nuclear timeline, the reason we're concerned about Iran with nukes is because of their overall behavior, and that's what should have been negotiated in the first deal, and that's why we're getting out of this deal in the first place.
All right. Okay. This is a fair debate to have. Mm-hmm. I just don't like the way it's being played out in Washington. You know, your new adopted hometown. All right. Let's talk. As we move forward here, as this, now that we're out and our, and again, I don't know how much you can share on this, but you already do have all of our big European allies going, hey, we didn't want you out of this. How do we know that they aren't going to end up settling next to China, who's going to go, oh, that's all right. You know what? We're going to start buying oil from you again, Iran, because we can. We agreed in principle not to, because we wanted to send a message and be with, you know, the United States had asked us not to, and we chose not to. But now they go, well, maybe we can now. How does China not benefit? How do they not become the world leader in all this when we are pulling ourselves unilaterally out of TPP or this or whatever it happens to be? How do we not let them become the king?
Yeah, I mean, the TPP thing, I agree with you on. On the nuclear deal, though, it really comes down to a question. Does Germany, the UK, France, and China, are they better off not buying oil from the largest oil producer right now in the world, which is the United States, and probably Saudi Arabia at that point, and going only with Iran? My guess is no, because Iran, the thing we have to keep in mind is our economy is so powerful and so important that, in fact, you know, the French, the Germans, the UK, they're going to have to make a decision. Their companies are going to make a decision. Either we do something with Iran or we do something with the United States. And the conversations I had with State, and we didn't get into a lot of detail, is that there have already been good conversations in place. Now, they all said what they need to say, which is the U.S. shouldn't pull out, and they probably really believe that. But that doesn't mean they're just going to take their ball and go home and say, we'll do business with Iran and not the United States now, because that would be really dumb for their countries.
Okay, last question about this, and then we'll discuss Guitar Hero again. Do you think that now on the eve of the talks with North Korea, assuming there will be talks with North Korea, and you know, obviously Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, has landed now in Pyongyang, and they're starting to talk with them. You know, potentially we might see some news about the hostages in the next couple of hours, or the you know, Americans prisoners. That are being held there, the prisoners being held there. The question is, does our pulling out of a deal that we'd signed just a couple of years ago impact, do you think, negatively the ability for us to kind of deal with North Korea?
I don't, because, I mean, it's the same reason we don't trust North Korea. If they say they don't trust us now, well, fine, now you have two people you don't trust negotiating something that you're going to have to put very strict rules around to ensure that both sides are compliant with. And I think, frankly, it sends a message to Kim Jong-un that he's not going to be able to negotiate a bad deal. I think we are in the catbird seat with North Korea. I think, you know, China's on board saying enough. And there'll be some concessions to North Korea in this. I don't know what they are. But at the end of the day, North Korea will not get a nuclear weapon. And we need to make an ironclad agreement. And I think hopefully Kim Jong-un now knows that there's going to be no loopholes he can negotiate.
All right. Well, it's going to be it's interesting. What do you think? I'm not sure what is at play here with North Korea. They're behaving in a way that we have not seen them behave in.
Yeah.
And again, I go back to China here for a second, and I wonder how much of what kind of impact do we really have on them, and how much of this is really them cutting a deal to be accepted by their neighbors and cut an economics deal that's not going to cut them off, and then we get cut out of the deal. I mean,
it's possible. I mean, it could be both, but I think, you know, part of it is, let's look what happened in North Korea. There's rumors that their nuclear testing site has imploded, or at least parts of it has imploded.
Right.
Kim Jong-un gets summoned into China, and then Kim Jong-un is really eager all of a sudden to now negotiate. So there may be a point at which China said, you're putting us at more risk than it's worth, and you're going to make something happen here. And it would be to their benefit, frankly, because they'll look like the kingmaker in the region. We get that, but we'd much rather have a non-nuclear North Korea.
All right. Well, I think we agree on all of that. But
yeah.
How we get there from here is another thing, and I don't know. Mike Pompeo, obviously you supported him for Secretary of State.
Yeah, he's great.
Yeah.
Yep.
And what do you think about Gina Haspel at CIA? Do you think that she'll get through?
I do. You know, look, I mean, you always have your Rand Paul types that are gonna, you know, try to make a name for himself on this, but. You know, look, people disagree with the enhanced interrogation. I think she'll address that. She'll get through it. And ultimately, look, it's the job of the Senate, unless you have some major problem with these nominees, mm-hmm. is to give some deference to the president and his picks.
All right. All right. All right, Congressman.
Thanks, Congressman.
If it were rock, what is it?
Rock Band or Guitar Hero,
which would you choose?
I would pick Guitar Hero because Rock Band's too much. There's like too many moving parts.
Okay.
Right. Sounds better together, though. The drums are very
fun. The drums are really
tough.
Yeah.
Super Mario or Donkey Kong?
Mario, because I'm terrible at Donkey Kong.
Galaga or Miss Pac-Man?
Miss Pac-Man.
Miss Pac-Man for me, too.
I'd say Galaga.
These are all the correct. So far, his answers have been all correct.
Your opinions are right, sir.
Yeah.
Are you a Halo guy, or are you a Call of Duty?
Call of Duty and Battlefield.
What about Fortnite? That's taking over the world these days.
I just heard about that today. I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, people are going to watch other people play Fortnite.
Right.
That is the craziest thing I have ever heard.
Is it that hard?
Yeah. It's like a Halo, you know, first player shooter type game.
Yeah.
It's all the rage these days
for
the kids.
It's all the rage for the kids, yeah.
Right. Kids are these days.
Yep.
Right. These kids with their games and such.
All right, Congressman. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Congressman.
All right, there he goes.
You bet.
Have a good
all
week.
Right, Adam Kinzinger right there. Here is, let's see what we got here. We got Judy telling us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Fly to the front of the line at LitFest on June 9th and June 10th with the Fest Pass. Get yours before they're gone. PrintersRowLitFest.org/FestPass.
Hi, it's the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. It's good to find that the congressman's a Call of Duty guy, not a Halo guy.
Yeah. Not big on Rock Band or
Guitar Hero. Yeah.
I always liked the Wii tennis.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Only way I can play tennis.
Wii bowling's fun too, but you got to make sure to hang on to the remote.
I know. You'll throw it sometimes.
Too many viral videos of people letting go of that Wii remote and breaking their 50-inch big
sports. I know. Well, you got the thing. When your arm goes underneath, it's an automatic, because you're there throwing a ball or bowling, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's an automatic muscle memory to just let go.
And they have golf, too. So you're like swinging really hard and you start getting into it. Got to be careful.
You can pull a muscle on those things.
Yeah. Ouch. Oh, I know. Yeah. It's bad.
10-day DL with a pulled lat from Wii Golf.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard of stupider ways.
But
yeah.
Do the geese attack you there too? The virtual geese.
Fortunately, not.
You should have that though. That'd be. And then all of a sudden, you get to pull out. You know, you have a choice of weapons. And you get to, like, on the side, you get a choice of weapons, then you decide which weapon you can shoot the goose with.
It turns into Call of Duty.
It turns into
golf.
Call of Duty, right.
Yeah. You need those VR headsets. The next thing you know, you're battling geese on the golf course.
Turn around. Right. Your 9-iron turns into an AR, and then the next thing you know,
Leave
the geese
got
alone.
Quack, quack. Quack, quack. Quack, quack. Damn it, I missed it.
Hand me my 7-iron.
Have you guys really been attacked by geese on the golf course?
Oh, yeah.
They're around.
Oh, here's your 7-iron.
All right, get in the car. We got to go, go, go.
Oh, my God. And I'm telling you, once it's happened to you,
yeah,
you'll never look at those Canada geese the same way again.
You're scarred.
I've been around a lot of geese, never been attacked.
Oh, well, you're not on a golf course.
They were feeding them the other day.
Oh, yeah, no.
Oh, that's...
No.
Yeah, they see you swinging something really fast, and they give you the evil eye.
Just when they look at you.
Well, and first of all, you're totally outnumbered by them. If you're walking by and there's a couple geese and some gosling, that's one thing. When there's 50 geese standing, thank you. There you go. Correct word. If there's 50 geese standing around on the fairway of the seventh fairway, you're like, that's a lot of geese, and you got to drive through, and sometimes they move out of the way. Like you're driving the cart.
Sometimes you're like, forget it, let's go to the eighth hole.
Right, or your ball lands in the middle of it and you go, and sometimes they'll part around you, but then there's always one jerk goose that is like, I'm not moving.
It starts the loud honking and then they all start going.
Yeah.
It's like the bully in the alley who won't let you by without like paying your dues.
It's like, I'm not doing this.
That's the lookout guy, the one who's supposed to tell the other geese when there's trouble. They see you coming and they're like, well, I mean, come on.
And then one hisses at you and then the rest of them go, all right, what is it? Where is it? They assume that one goose knows. There's a lot of group theory that goes on with the geese. That as soon as one of them decides to get mad at you, then all the rest of them, they got to pile on.
Right.
Oh, it's bad.
Gang.
It is bad. It's a geese gang.
They skip the hole. Mark me as a par. Let's go. I parred that one. I would have parred that one.
Wow, you guys deal with a lot on the golf course.
I know. It's really total
studs. It's
tough
out there. And sometimes you can't find the cart girl and you're thirsty.
Right. Or you,
cart girl, did you say?
Yeah, the cart girl.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, there's not cart guys. I've never been on a course where they had a cart guy. No.
But there should be.
Absolutely.
I don't think so.
What year is it?
I mean,
1891.
I'm just saying, I've never seen a cart guy on the court. I wasn't trying to be stereotypical.
That is true, though.
I've never seen it.
Is it? Have you ever seen a guy driving the beverage cart on that? I've never seen
it. It's equal opportunity. They're more than welcome.
Beverage cart, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're more than welcome to try out. I guess the guys.
But
just
it's awful when you can't find them and you're thirsty on the golf course. Oh, it's tough.
It's
tough out there. You're sweating a little
lives.
Bit.
Or sometimes one of your guys doesn't have sunscreen.
Right. Like, these are big problems.
Did you bring sunscreen?
Can you put a little sunscreen on my neck?
That's extra.
You didn't bring the spray?
We do not ask our golf partners to put sunscreen on our neck.
Are you sure? But
no. I know that sometimes you like going tanning with your friends, like girls will do that. Guys don't do that. Because the minute a guy goes, hey, could you put some sunscreen on my back? He's immediately exorcised, thrown to the geese at that moment.
You just start hissing at him and they get him.
Yeah. Get out of here, man.
What do you mean you want a cart guy? What does that mean? All right,
are big problems.
Yes, these are. This is right. These are that is actually the definition of white people problems, right there that we were just discussing. All right, let us now check in with Judy Pilak. She's got the news in two.
Thank you, Judy.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You corrected Judy earlier.
I know. That was it's dangerous. It's literally like walking.
Did you see my
it's list? Like falling into the lion's den, like the lion cage or something. Like, you know, those kids who fall into the moat in between the lions and the people, and you're like, that's how I felt for a moment.
You're like,
and
this lions, could go a number of ways.
Right, the lion's looking down at me, and it's going, hey, wait a second. Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, it's funny, because you can tell which cable news anchors have taken a couple years of high school French, because it's always Macron.
Yeah.
And Trudy was just doing the Americanized pronunciation of the French.
Macron.
Yeah.
You're still coming along like macaroon. It's still coming out like that.
Which I have a hard time basically saying macaroon. I can never say if I'm at the bakery.
I know, I just point.
Just
a pink one.
I usually say, let me have
French
the president macaroon.
Yeah, the Macron. I'll take the Macron. And President Macaroon today criticized America's withdrawal from the Iranian nuclear deal. Oh gosh! Oh boy! Oh,
don't
boy.
Let it ever happen.
Yeah,
again,
don't
bro.
Worry about it. Hey, speaking of crazy things in politics, this Schneiderman story, the Attorney General of New York, who was like a real pit bull. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a guy. He was out there. He was going after, like, he was one of the guys trying to get Trump's tax returns.
He's also, his office filed a civil rights suit against Harvey Weinstein,
right,
for his sexual harassment and abuse. He was investigating potential wrongdoing against a DA in Manhattan who didn't file charges against Weinstein when it was some allegations came forward in 2015. He was supposedly investigating some of the sexual harassment and abuse issues.
Right. And now he's been accused of physically abusing at least two women. And he within a day of those allegations coming out in New York Magazine, this is Ronan Farrow reporting this, he's stepping down. It's not like he's not even fighting it. He's just like, oh, okay, well, I got to go.
He said he'd be a distraction if he stayed in the position. But he's saying the whole thing was consensual. I think that's his defense. Yeah, you know, he acknowledges, yeah, I'm not even pushing back on these four women who came forward in this very detailed piece by Ronan Farrow.
In New Yorker, by the way.
In the New Yorker.
Yeah.
Mia Farrow's son, who's been very outspoken and come forward with many of these high-profile, you know, issues of sex harassment. And he's not pushing back on what they're saying because they're telling their story. He's just saying that it was all consensual role-playing.
Yeah. I want to just talk about that just for a second. One of the women's allegation is that she was involved in a sexual relationship with them, and they began as, you know, in this particular event that she was describing, it started, you know, as a fairly normal thing, and then all of a sudden he like hit her really hard and then started choking her, and she was like, and then she got like freaked out and was like, I gotta go. She was trying to, you know, kick him and get him, you know, like away from her. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, this is just, you know, I read this in this 50 Shades of Grey. You know, you knew that this 50 Shades of Grey was going to be, it was going to lead to this kind of a thing.
Right. It can only be consensual if both parties consent.
Right.
So just
aware
one
of it.
Party is saying, hey, this would be great if.
Do they have a safe word?
I think he surprised these women when he
did
it. I think
she couldn't get it out while she was being choked possibly the answer there. I mean, that's what freaked her out. First of all, what is that? I'm sorry. I just don't understand.
You don't get that.
You know, call me a prude. Call me an old-fashioned guy. But I don't get it.
Well, sometimes you say no, but you mean yes, and so you need, it's complicated.
Not in this case. Well, I mean, if you're hitting somebody, I mean, the whole thing is weird.
He said it was often after he had been drinking a lot, so it wasn't if he was necessarily even aware of what they did or didn't want. It was sort of about him, is what they said. Was without their consent, and he would repeatedly hit them, and that he tended to like to break down strong women.
And these two women who've come forward, four have come forward total, two have gone on the record using their names to the New Yorker. And these two women have, I don't think they know each other.
I don't believe
and
so.
And they're telling approximately the same story.
Mm-hmm. And then she said that there was sort of a follow-up threatening thing, just like Harvey Weinstein did, kind of using his power, is what they allege, to go after them should they try to step forward. He said that they would have, he'd have them followed, he'd tap their phones, he threatened to kill them, according to one of the women, if they tried to break up with him or say anything about this. He pushes back and never made these threats. But it was sort of, you know, it's kind of a classic, what we saw from Harvey Weinstein.
Wow.
Same kind of thing, like this enormous amount of retribution should you go forward with anything here. But then there's four of them here. So they, as you say, I don't think there's any connectivity between the four women.
And he's not married, right? I mean, that's the part I didn't quite understand about this.
I don't know. I don't think so.
But it's, does that really matter anymore? I think the bow has broken on all the whole thing. It's not like this, that would be the centerpiece. Well, he was cheating on his wife, and these women are coming forward to say they were being abused. You know, Harvey was married, but you got to look at Mrs. Weinstein and go, what were you thinking?
Yeah. Oh, gee.
So.
She was thinking she had this big fashion empire and probably was living her own life, but. No longer together now. After
yeah, now
came out.
Finally
put
now
a lot of pieces together.
Now she's like, you know what? I don't really like the guy anyway. I never liked him, and I was kind of happy and relieved that he had all these other women. But let me be honest with you, even this is too much for me.
Yeah, I think the hard part here is that he was in charge of investigating other sort of abusers. So he stepped aside. He says he'd be a distraction, and he's out. But wow, quite the allegation to get someone in that position.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm just telling you, this whole 50 Shades of Grey, and then women were, you know, buying the book and running to the movie and having 50 Shades of Grey, parties, mm-hmm. right? Oh,
viewing parties.
Isn't it really sexy?
And reading it in public? Like, imagine if men were reading books like that at a coffee shop. Right?
Do men read 50 Shades of Grey? No one reads that?
Not at a local coffee shop. Yeah. In front of, like, all these women are just, like, sitting on a park bench reading 50
Shades
of Grey.
Right, at the beach, reading 50 Shades of Grey. Yeah. Guys reading How I Did It by Bill Cosby. And, I mean, that's not how that goes.
I don't think those are...
Like, if I was sitting at a coffee shop and reading a book like 50 Shades of Grey, the looks I would get from everybody in that coffee shop. But a woman does it, and everyone's like, that's fine, you know, she's exploring her sexuality.
You probably would be teased if you did that. I could
more than teased if he has to leave. Excuse me,
right, it would be inappropriate.
You need to take your book and get out of here before we call the police.
There's children here.
Right. Oh, imagine if you're at the Starbucks and you're black and you're reading the book. Look out!
Get the SWAT team in here!
Yeah, can you imagine?
There's two. Hello, 911. There's two African-American men reading 50 Shades of Grey. Yes, they did both buy lattes, but they're really scaring everybody else in the
store. Did they use the bathroom?
And they did. They asked to use the bathroom, but I wouldn't let them because I wanted to take the book in there, and God knows what was going to happen. please come. Please come as soon as possible.
Send back up.
They've been here for 2 minutes. Come on.
They just flipped the page.
All right, I'm telling everybody to get in the cooler. Call my family.
It's a wise choice. Yeah. Be careful.
All right. Anyway, The point is that 50 Shades of Grey, and then there were three books, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was like 50 Shades of Grey, 50 more.
50 Shades Freed. No, wait, that's the last one.
And then
there was a trilogy.
50 Shades Darker.
And a movie Freed. Yeah, 50 Shades Darker and then 50 Shades Freed.
Mm-hmm. Right, and you're like, and then they made these into these movies. I have to admit, I've not seen the movies.
Oh.
So I've stopped.
I think the first one was very good.
Well, this is like when you're flipping channels, mm-hmm. and I would see it like on, so they'd be like halfway through it. I'd stop and I go, well, maybe there'll be a good scene. You know,
that's mm-hmm. what
I'm
one of those.
Yeah, maybe, you know, just right. Exactly. There's a lot of movies late at night that just stop and you go, maybe there's a good scene.
I'll wait a couple minutes.
Yeah, see, and I waited and I'm like, I don't know. It was moving so slow and the acting was, it was like the two people, you could tell that the actors, it seemed like they were in different continents,
yes,
when they were shooting the movie.
It totally did. And I don't think that would be what the role would call for, right? You think they had this crazy connection when they were together, but you didn't feel that.
But yeah. I just didn't understand the whole idea here, huh? And then it's a good idea. And then next,
the room of pain, red room of pain.
Right, the red room of pain. Now, what is what? Okay, see, now who's going to be talking about the red room of pain? And like, that's going to be all good, right? You can't. I mean, you can't in polite society. You can't do that. Now you go to jail for even thinking the idea of it.
Yeah, I don't think it's a defense.
No,
maybe if they've seen the movie, but
even if they've seen the movie, then at that point, I mean, I don't know.
No, he makes them sign a contract, though, in the movie.
So Saturday Night Live did a bit this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the things they did, this is the one that was least talked about, but it's right on this line. It was this couple, they get in bed, and they want to discuss, you know, they want to spark it up a little bit. And then they say such awkward things to each other and sparking it up that they're like, oh, what? So, I don't know. I don't. I, it's gotta. That's,
that is how that goes, though. No, tell me anything. What? That's what you want? Are you kidding me? You're disgusting. Get out of here. Don't touch me.
Come on, I'll be like the billionaire in that book you read.
Except for you're not a billionaire, and we're not doing that.
This is a little different.
Drinking a beer with your gut hanging out? Just trying to be like that billionaire you like. You want to try this out tonight or what?
Call me Mr. Gray, baby.
I've got a couple ties in the closet. We can try some with that.
Zip ties. They use zip ties, too.
I got zip. Yeah, oh, in the toolbox. Hold on. Let's see what else I got. No, that's not going to work. Hold on. Can you do anything with a ball peen hammer? What do we do with this? Oh, God. It's bad. It's bad. Do not try this at home.
And don't trust her when she says, tell me anything.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to really know what you're doing there. You got to. This has to be a well... This has to be... They almost need lawyers to write up a contract for this. You need to call Mike Monaco and have him come down and go, all right, now, the party of the first part.
Did you just say my sister?
Mike, we got a contract for you to go through here. Can you imagine? I'm sure he has these requests.
Yeah. My sense is... Well, no, you know who does? Rudy Giuliani. He already admitted to that. This happens to me all the time when Rudy Giuliani was like, yeah, I do this all the time for my clients. And anybody who's when Rudy Giuliani told that to Sean Hannity last week that he does all these kinds of deals, you know, to get his clients out of trouble with their mm-hmm. mistresses. How many guys are married to women who know that Rudy Giuliani is the guy's attorney, right? So it's like you know, you're sitting at home, you're watching mm-hmm. this with your wife. Yeah, there's my attorney. Look at that. And then he goes, yeah, I do this all the time. I get guys out of these things all the time.
They're probably like, what? Did he ever do that for you? There's certainly a conversation that follows that admission.
I got to make a phone call.
No.
Be right back.
No. No, honey. No. All right. A quick time out here. First, mm-hmm. let me tell you right now, you can be calling number 10 at 312-981-7200. If you are, you win a $25 gift card to Hofbräu House Chicago celebrating Mayfest. Now through May 25th, freshly brewed seasonal Maybach beer, nightly Bavarian music, and an authentic taste of Munich. Visit HofbräuHouseChicago.com. Judy, what's coming up at the top of the hour? Play a little bit. It's fun.
Kind of nice to chill out on Tuesday.
Yep. All right. Nice. All right. Let's see here. This is Ro Contra with Anna DeVlantis, by the way, in case you're wondering. And it's time, because I interrupted Judy's news. I'm a big interrupter today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is.
You were a corrector today, too.
I do.
Doesn't fly well.
I corrected
on the show.
Judy, and I got snapped at.
Why don't you get off your high horse, okay?
All right.
Go fly an Uber.
Yeah, if you say so. All right, you know what?
It's the top five on the Rokon Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, checking in at
number five.
Federal authorities have charged a 27-year-old man in the shooting of an ATF agent last week. Suspect is Ernesto Godinez. He made a brief court appearance today to hear the charge against him. Hundreds of officers have been searching for the gunman who turned himself in with his lawyer. That was a good move,
yes,
by
it
the
was.
Way. That's a better way to go. You used to turn yourself into the guy from Channel 7. Russ Ewing. Yeah. That's back when, you know, back in my day, you find a TV reporter and he walked you in.
Or what's your name on the boat on Lake Michigan?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, she's at the
Fernandez, Georgetown. Giselle
yeah.
Fernandez.
Oh, right.
Yes.
She had a mobster guy. It was a
drug
nice
dealer.
Day out. She wanted to go for drug a boat
dealer.
Ride
Drug
first.
Dealer. I think it was on the Channel Lakes.
Hmm.
It was on the Fox River.
But in that case, he was a wanted man in that case, too, right?
Yeah.
So they did a little boat ride, did an interview, and then brought him in.
And she bought him pizza. But then she got promoted though
to the network.
To the network, yeah. So that's how that worked. Anyway, let's, you know what?
Yeah.
Why Off are we topic. Wasting our time with this? See, this is one of those days. It's
we
too nice
that.
Outside, and we're distracted. That's what's happening. That's going to be my excuse to the bosses when I write the memo about what happened, what went wrong here today.
Okay.
Extensive. This guy, by the way, has an extensive criminal record, including a conviction for attempted murder in 2011. Eddie Johnson, Chicago Police Superintendent, said this.
I know that in the past several days, it has not been easy for both the ATF, who had one of their agents seriously injured, and also for the residents of the back of the yards as we work to bring this criminal to justice. That was a very important goal, because if this individual was willing to shoot a member of law enforcement, I believe there would be no hesitation on his part in doing the same thing to an area resident. So I would like to make a very heartfelt thank you to the CPD officers who work day and night and to the community members for working with us throughout this time.
Excellent point,
it is.
Superintendent, because the reality here is that that's what police do every day. They're out there trying to keep guys who want to shoot you from shooting you. Or maybe they want to shoot somebody else, but it's still, you don't want people just shooting people.
No. In this case, it didn't seem like there was any interaction between this particular ATF agent and the suspect. It seems as if there's something happened there that caused him to decide to shoot.
All right.
Which, again, would he have directed at a law enforcement officer? Of course, would direct it at an innocent citizen.
Checking in at
number four.
All right. The president called the agreement with Iran concerning their nuclear program one-sided and horrible. He has now withdrawn the United States from that multinational agreement, reimposing sanctions against the Iranian regime, saying the agreement won't prevent Iran from making a nuclear weapon. That is not technically true, by the way. But then again, what is technically true? We had Congressman Kinzinger on just a little bit ago. That was that part is, and he likes the pulling out of the deal. He was for it, but that part of the this thing was they were going to allow them to build a nuclear bomb in 7 years is not accurate. They could start a civilian program in 7 years, and you have to know a little bit about the difference between radioactive isotopes being used for energy, like in a nuclear plant, and making a bomb. Totally different. Totally different. And it would be very hard to do that without other people noticing you doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But especially with the way that we were doing the inspections. But okay, that's water under the bridge now. That's radioactive water under the bridge. Now the deal is done. And the president says that this deal by Iran when they were making the deal with Obama was brokered in bad faith.
After these consultations, it is clear to me that we cannot prevent an Iranian nuclear bomb under the decaying and rotten structure of the current agreement. The Iran deal is defective at its core. If we do nothing, we know exactly what will happen.
Congressman Kinzinger also told us that he didn't want to betray any security clearances or anything, you know, any knowledge that he was getting he wasn't allowed to share. But he did signal that there was some kind of other thing, plan in the works. And I think that will be interesting as we learn more about that.
Well, I think he's, but what he was alluding to was that this is part of a negotiation. That he wants to get a better deal with Iran than the one that we had.
Add restrictions rather
and,
than...
And it's not even about the... This isn't really about the nuclear program. This is about their activity and other stuff. Being an exporter of terror, getting involved in Syria, propping up Assad. It's about that stuff. And they want Iran to stop that. So to reimpose sanctions, the only way to reimpose sanctions was to use the nuclear deal to do it. I think the president would have been better off politically making that argument. Because the reality is that Iran gets to go back to the international community and go, that's the president's misrepresenting what was in that deal and misrepresenting our adherence to that deal, which the European states, that's why they were all telling him, all the European leaders were telling the president, don't pull out of this because there isn't a justification to pull out of it based on Iran's negligence here. There's a justification to pull out of it based on Iran's other behavior concerning international terrorism in Syria and all that, yes. But one of the things that is going on here is this is something that Benjamin Netanyahu really wanted in Israel, and here's what he said about it.
President Trump did an historic move, and this is why Israel thanks President Trump for his courageous leadership, his commitment to confront the terrorist regime in Tehran, and his commitment to ensure that Iran never gets nuclear weapons. Not today, not in a decade, not ever.
The other piece of this, too, is, from the Israeli standpoint, is that they look at Iran being able to develop nuclear weapons, creating an arms race around them with the Saudis, Jordanians, everybody else, the Egyptians, everybody else in the region, that that if they decide that they, well, you know, the real problem here is Israel, that they could go after them nuclearly. But it is such a tightly packed neighborhood right there.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like that would be a really bad mistake by somebody here to have a nuclear arms race. And yes, that is true. That is an issue. But I don't think that's what this was all about in the first place. I just don't. Here's what the Iran president said.
Based on what we have been saying since 40 years ago, and we have been repeating this, and that is Iran is a country that adheres to its commitments, and the U.S. is a country that has never adhered to its commitments.
Okay. All right, we'll get to your three, your two, and your one, but first, Judy tells us what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
And then there is this to say. The Pirates sail into Chicago for a primetime battle with the Southsiders. Tuesday night baseball, tonight on WGN-TV.
Yeah, I was supposed to be in that movie, aren't I?
Johnny, I don't think you play baseball.
Oh, speaking of Johnny Depp, interesting, Elon Musk has a new girlfriend. Did you see that?
I did not.
Yeah.
And it is or is not Amber Heard?
It is not Amber Heard.
Because I know that Elon Musk likes to go back to the same people. He married the same woman twice, so maybe he circles back on Amber. But good. Good for Johnny.
Oh, God.
Doesn't have to deal with
yeah.
Her.
No, it's a new
supermodel or something?
Something. It's a new somebody. It's not Amber. The headline was, it's not Amber Heard.
I hate Amber Heard. And her little dog, too.
All right. You know what? Now, this is an interesting thing. A few minutes ago, a few hours ago now, because it was right before the show, Violetta Pattermedic was telling us that she's going to be teaching a class to 5th to 8th graders. Is that right? Can you explain?
Yeah, I don't exactly know which grade I'm going to be teaching. It could be anywhere from 5th to 8th grade.
And you've got a workbook that you have to teach out of?
I do. It's called Global Marketplace.
Global Marketplace. Okay.
JA Global Marketplace. I'm going to be teaching kids really important stuff here.
About NAFTA, right? There was something
NAFTA's
about NAFTA?
Well, NAFTA's the second course. The first course, we just pretty much define trade, explain why countries trade with each other.
So how did you get into
this? Why did they ask you to do this?
Yeah.
I volunteered, but there was an email. Does anyone read their email that went out from Tribune Media? I think this is their junior achievement day where they do stuff around Chicago.
So you're just trying to suck up the bosses.
So this is a one-day class that
you're
teaching.
It's a one-day class, but it's for a long time. I'm getting there at 8 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Where are they doing this?
I don't remember the school name, but it's at Montrose and Western.
Uh-huh.
There's a school right next to that park.
Yeah, okay.
And, yeah, so then I'm there's five sessions. I've only taken notes and learned session one through two.
Oh, my God.
Yes, and then the second course is all about NAFTA.
NAFTA. Now, what's really interesting is we're about to have the former ambassador to Canada, who was the guy who was implementing NAFTA.
Yeah, well, if you want me to tell you about NAFTA, I can.
In the free trade agreement. In the studio with us. And if you have any questions, maybe you could ask him. But before the show, we said to Violetta, all right, well, what does NAFTA stand for?
Do you even know what NAFTA is? I think you said.
And
she said yes.
She goes, yes, of course. It's the National.
No, it's actually the North the North American Free Trade Agreement.
Yes, but you didn't know that 2.5 hours ago.
You got me off guard. Everyone calls it NAFTA.
Violetta's going to be like the substitute teacher who doesn't know how to actually do anything, so they put a movie on.
Oh, I know.
They're like, okay, let's just watch a movie.
They always get, like, in my school, when they would call a substitute teacher in, she was always crawling out of a bed with a hangover.
Right.
And she was still wearing her clothes from the night before. And it was, you know, she smelled of cigarette, alcohol, and, you know, musk,
Canada,
if you know
Mexico,
what I mean.
Canada, Mexico, and the United States have agreed to a partnership that includes...
Oh, wait, dim the lights and hit play, kids.
National and international laws are necessary for international trade to be successful and profitable.
And you're
going to
teach this
to
kids.
Countries involved.
Well, she has some time to study up on it.
And then I get into the World Trade Organization. This is on Friday, people.
Oh, well, we better start to study now, shouldn't we?
Well, I just signed up for it. But I'll take that guest speaker that you have coming in about NAFTA.
Yeah, guest speaker. What?
I'm saying it to my class. To my class.
You want to take him to the class?
Yeah.
Okay.
And now,
and by the way, and I just happen to have an expert with me, the former ambassador to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that's, it's
might
like
know a thing or two.
It's one of the three people involved in NAFTA, if you guys didn't know. I feel like the president now when I just learned something.
The three countries.
All know.
As you may not know.
Many people don't know. He says many people don't know. Lincoln was a Republican.
It's a bunch of fifth graders, as you all know or may not know.
As you all know. You all remember Michael Cohen, as you all know.
Starts
NAFTA.
As you all know, Stormy Daniels, you know, Stormy was a porn star. It's the kind of thing you would do. Thank God. Isn't the Boy Scout Jamboree coming up? Right. It's coming up right
now.
We got
to listen live on that.
If he speaks to them, how many of you people have seen any of her movies? Remember last year he was talking about a guy and his ex-wives.
Last year I totally questioned your judgment about dipping in live to them. I'm like, what could we possibly learn from the Boy Scout Jamboree?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. And
how to be a sleazy businessman.
Yeah.
That's what you learned.
That's what we learned. He gave them all a lesson in how to cheat on your wife. All right. Hold on a second here.
Session three gets crazy.
All right. We're going to talk about the nuclear deal with the ambassador. But if you have any questions for the ambassador about NAFTA, it'd be a good time for you to ask him.
We're in the middle of the top five of five still, aren't we?
Oh, my God. I didn't get to the rest of the top five.
I know.
I thought I was done with the top five.
I thought that was your number three talking
about. Oh, my God.
Those are 80-degree days for you, okay?
Oh, my God.
There's so much ADD going on the show today.
Just say them. No numbers. No anything. Just boom, boom, boom.
I got to take a break. I'll pick up the top five of five at 6 o'clock. Is what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to do your 3-2. I'm going to have to do it.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought I would look at it.
This is a disaster.
Oh, my gosh.
This feels like the class I'm going to teach on Friday.
Judy's got the news coming your way. Con Show with Anna DeVlantis here. I would like to take no responsibility for everything that's happened already on this program today. This is the first time in my long and less than esteemed career, I blew up the top five at five. I forgot that we did not do the
right
3 to 2
in the middle
and
of it. So somehow that's continued until the 6 o'clock hour.
Right.
The top five at five.
Mm-hmm. Don't worry about
it. It's going to be partially in the six.
I'll explain it. I'll just pretend there was a White Sox game.
Okay.
All right. Now, here's the deal. We've got Ambassador Bruce Hayman with us, who was the ambassador from the United States to Canada for the last number of years. And he is... a Chicagoan, and we appreciate you being with us when you have the opportunity, because it's always nice to have a guy that I have to call by a title in the studio with me. I wonder, as you look at this as a diplomat, as you look at the Iranian deal, is this good or bad for America that we sign a major international multilateral treaty and then just decide, hey, we're not going to live up to it because it's not politically tenable here anymore?
Well, I think it's bad. I think it's not only bad, it's probably one of the worst presidential decisions, regardless of party, in many decades, in many, many decades. And why is that? So if you think about this, a group of countries got together. We called them P5 plus one. And what is that? There are five permanent members of the Security Council, and they are Russia and China and the UK, the U.S. and France, plus one, and they added Germany. So you had now this whole group of countries come together, recognizing they're not just our allies, right? You have Russia in here and everything else, but these were the permanent members of the U.N. Security Council. And they got together and recognized the greatest threat on the planet Earth is nuclear weaponry, And we need to reduce that. And one of the greatest threats in nuclear weaponry was Iran. And so they all came together, all different interests, all came together and worked out an agreement. And that's where it's called multilateral. Multi meaning many, lateral, all these different countries. So you have these five, these five plus one, we all came together. And we reached this agreement. Now we have made this decision today, the United States of America, is I'm out. And so we reached this agreement. By the way, there was no violation. There's never any identification of a violation. Iran
complied. That's not even a claim here. They're just claiming that it was a bad deal.
A bad deal. So we quit.
Yeah.
And so when you do that, so then what happens with any other deal that the U.S. enters into around the world?
Say North Korea. Friends,
say North Korea, say NAFTA, which we can talk about in a minute, with Canada and Mexico. Any deal that we do, what makes it so that we just wake up on the wrong side of the bed one day and say, you know what, I just didn't like the deal that I actually signed and agreed to, so I kind of want out. Now, can you imagine if we did that in businesses or we did that in contracts? You showed up and you signed a contract for something.
Well, I do that on my terms of service on the internet all day long. Because they constantly resend me a thing. And we have new terms of service. Do you agree?
And then you just scroll through pages and pages of fine print and go, yep.
6,000 pages. Pages here for you to go through, but your point is.
But when
excellent.
It comes down to international diplomacy,
right? This is a deal.
This is a deal.
Big
deal. If you don't like the deal, then there's another way of dealing with that: is getting the group together and saying, "Hey, I really don't like this deal. Can we and propose how you can change an updated deal?" Now that happens. Look, a lot of people
do it all the time.
We do it all the time. We do it diplomatically.
Salt one, salt two with the Russians.
Exactly. But in this particular case, we just basically say, I quit. Now, the president has now determined that quitting is a better approach than negotiating. So he did it in Paris. We were not obliged on the Paris Agreement on climate change. He just said, I don't like this, I'm out. He did it in TPP, which was the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which was specifically designed to do this big trading partnership with a bunch of countries around the Pacific to counter China and to update North America. He quit. He quit that. He quit the Dreamers. He quit on these kids. He just said, I quit. And so he now has quit Iran. And so one by one by one, he is just waking up and saying, I quit. And so it is a go-it-alone strategy. We are isolating ourselves as a country. And we are increasing risks around the world. You never know what happens with that.
Let's talk about how the other countries are going to deal with this. So the other nations that are involved in this, the other five nations that are involved in this, they say they want to hold to the terms of the deal. And Iran, it's unclear, you know, what Iran's reaction is going to be to that. They've already just decried the president for doing this and Israel for being behind it as they see it. And Netanyahu in Israel did try to give the president cover. He came up with this thing 2 weeks ago. Hey, look at this, what we found, that they were building a nuclear program, and they said they weren't building a nuclear program. That goes back 15 years, by the way, the stuff, the paperwork that he pulled out. But still, they were trying to make Iran into liars. And Iran, no one's arguing that Iran's, these are good guys, that this is a good regime, and that the world is safer with these.
These are bad guys.
Right.
Okay, let's just get that straight.
Yeah.
The Iranians are bad guys, they're terrorists, they do bad things. But this is an issue of we need to take this a piece at a time, and the piece was nuclear weaponry, and that's what this negotiation was about. That's what this deal was about. And so
if you want to go after Iran, the Iranian regime, for being behind, for backing Assad, for being behind terrorism throughout the Middle East, throughout the world, actually, for arming, for supplying, for funding terror all over the world, and trying to create as much chaos as possible, because they're trying to create as much chaos. Again, their biggest enemy is not the United States of America. Their biggest enemy is Saudi Arabia. Right. And so they're in a death battle with the Saudis about a lot of other things. So they want to be the big between the Saudis and the Iranians. Who's going to be the big player on the block there in that part of the world? That's really what this is about. So at the end of this day, if we want to go after the on behalf of the Saudis and stability in the world, if we see it that way, that we want to go after the Iranians, why don't we just go after them for separately and censure them for that?
We actually do. But let's talk about what this is, what is now likely going to happen, which at the bottom line is we're hurting U.S. businesses. Because here's what happened. We opened Iran up as a result of this deal to doing more transactions globally in the economy. And so U.S. businesses were in the middle of now coming back because U.S. businesses were prohibited from doing business in Iran. Mm-hmm. So they come back and they get all these contracts and we're starting to do business Boeing. Again. Airlines, equipment, tractors and trailers, car, you name it, all kinds of things. So what the president has basically done says it's illegal for you to do business with them. Now think of the other five countries who are still doing business and still in this agreement and not abrogating the agreement.
So the $19 billion contract that was going to Boeing for new aircraft goes to Airbus now.
Airbus or... Yeah. I can't tell you on any one agreement that that's going to happen, but I will tell you broadly across the economy, guess where they're going to go shopping? Because it'll be illegal for them to shop in the United States. The president has now shut the door, starting in August of 18 and then finalizing it in November of 18. He's basically saying, everybody, wind up your business. We're done. No business now with this. And you've got all the rest of the world willing to do business with them and legally do business with them. Now, the president's going to try to squeeze them on currency, and you can't use dollar-activated transactions, et cetera. But look, there's a euro out there. There's all kinds of other currencies that they can invest in.
But, Ambassador, one of the pushback, the points that Republicans have pushed back on is saying that there are phase-out clauses. So there's this 90-day sanctions, there's 180-day sanctions. And so maybe this is sort of a tactic, if you will, to negotiate harder restrictions on Iran and come to a better agreement, the agreement they wanted in the first place, the agreement the president wanted when he campaigned. And that the allies will join forces with the U.S. I mean, you might not agree with the way he's doing it, but the end result is what they're suggesting might be better.
Okay. I have not seen anybody able to predict the end result of what he's been able to do so far. And so I think that's a high-risk game when you're playing with international nuclear potential weaponry. That this is a very high-risk game. And I think that what is happening in this administration, and we're seeing it over and over, they actually don't have a strategy. They just have tactics. He wakes up one day and says, let's do steel tariffs at this level. Hey, and everybody's sitting around the table, what? And, you know, did you tell the State Department? No. Did you tell all your allies around the world? No. Did you tell any of the companies involved? No. I just decided right now I'm going to tell everybody.
Well, if he punches and people in the nose, he wakes them up. That's his thought.
That's his thought. But what you know, the reality is that I think it's a high-risk game, and I think if Obama played that game, the Republicans would have had a fit and would have said that
right,
that's ridiculous.
Right, because he's actually playing against the dogma of the Republican Party, well, the dictum of the Republican Party about free trade, international trade, get out of the way of business, don't get in the way of business. And so he's really behaving, you know, not so much like a traditional American conservative as we understood it to be before. He's behaving as a, you know, kind of, it's sort of a European dictator, you know, the way that a lot of those figures would deal with their own economy, or a third world guy that goes, hey, these are my enemies. I don't like them. We're gonna treat them like this, and I'm gonna change the rules around them. Because you know, until Congress gets involved, and Congress isn't gonna get involved because they're afraid of their own skin right now. But does it scare you that the adults? Let's just talk about. I know you're a Democrat, but let's just talk about Republicans here for a second. The Republicans that I'm sure that you wouldn't necessarily agree with, Mitch McConnell, who I know you know, or Paul Ryan, right. Guys like that. Right. These are guys you all had to work with when right. you were an ambassador to Canada,
right?
But like a guy like Paul Ryan just deciding he's going to get out, and a lot of other Republicans, Trey Gowdy, these guys who are like, I can't be a part of this. I mean, that's what they're saying.
They're saying I can't be a part of it, or they're seeing that they're going to lose their positioning or lose outright, and they're trying to get ahead of that. Some of them are joining, you know, I got to get out now so I can get into a lobbying firm before all the other Republicans get out and and so sign up. But look, you know, the end of the day, who are we hurting? We're hurting our relationship with the UK. We're hurting the relationship with France. We're hurting our relationship with Germany. We're hurting our relationships around the world. You're actually in the middle of this NAFTA negotiation. It's going on very aggressively in Washington right now. But while you're sitting there across the table, if you were a negotiator for Canada or Mexico and you looked up at the TV and you just saw that we just broke this agreement with Iran, you know, what kind of value do you think that we're going to stick with this next agreement? And so, and he's playing that same strategy here. He says, I'll just tear up NAFTA. It's only been around for 25
right.
years.
Right. And, well, that's true. That's what they did do that. But then you did have Canada and Mexico. All right. There are things we could redo. They didn't want the whole thing to go away. Right. And actually, America, I mean, you look at the soybean manufacturers here in the United States, primarily, what is it? Illinois is the number one soybean export state, I believe.
Right. Guess who stopped buying soybeans this
China.
Week? Yeah.
China stopped buying our soybeans. Yeah. And they're big consumers of them because you can go to Brazil and get them. I mean, it's I don't know. Ambassador, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Now, we have an assignment for you. We need you to go up to 7, and we need you to give our traffic reporter a one-hour lecture on what is NAFTA, because she's got to explain this to fifth graders coming up.
Starting with what the acronym stands for.
Right, start
the
Friday.
The North American Free Trade Agreement.
Awesome. Yes. Okay, you get an A in the class. Yeah. I think you're doing great.
You know what? That's as good as it's going to get. I think you should go home. Okay. I think what you should do. All right. Thank you very much, Ambassador. Ambassador Bruce Hayman, formerly the ambassador to Canada from the United States. Right now, Judy tells us what's coming up at the top of the hour.
Salmonella poisoning behind bars. We'll explain.
No, that's the worst. That's like a nightmare of mine. Here is Violetta with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots, brought to you by SpringRockGutters.com. All right, I get what you're doing there. All right, yes. All right, I had a little kerfuffle in the top 5 at 5.
You did.
And it's a top 5 at 5 to be continued coming up. Your 3, your 2, and your 1, even though it's 6 o'clock or it's 6:13. All right, I apologize.
A little bit of ADD earlier. I think the warm weather is sort of making us think.
Yes.
Not so straight today.
But I had a couple of issues. First of all, right now, if you're calling number 10 at 312-981-7200, you get a $25 gift card to Hofbrauhaus Chicago, celebrating Mayfest now through the 25th, featuring the return of the freshly brewed, beautifully brewed, delicious Maybach beer. Plus, you get nightly Bavarian entertainment and an authentic taste of Munich. Visit HofbrauhausChicago.com. Good luck to you on that. If you're driving, pull over. I'm not like a police officer. I'm just saying that you call us.
All right.
And then also, hey, by the way, join WGN Radio for the Walk of Fame ceremony and live broadcast Friday, May 18th. That's a week from Friday, beginning at 10 a.m. It's outside the Tribune Tower on Pioneer Court. We're honoring our 5 inductees, 2 prominent Chicago sports personalities, David Kaplan and Chuck Swirsky. Legends, quite honestly. It's beyond prominence. Those are legends. And Roger Treemstra. Mm-hmm. He was sort of skilling before skilling, Roger Treemstra.
Nice.
And we also have an announcer from the golden days of radio, Pierre Andre, who's being inducted, the Velvet Voice, and our own Mary Vandevelt.
Yay,
she's
Mary.
She's a current GNer who's going on to the walk.
She does traffic. Kind of a big deal.
I know. Kind of a big deal.
Aspire to be that one day. Let me
just say something here. With the exception of Judy Pilate, who's already on the Walk of Fame, no one from this show is going,
on that walk.
I just want everyone to know that I'm just letting you know.
It's not that hard. Just stay here long enough.
Right. That's its own issue. But secondly, I just don't think that we're the likable
type.
We're
not the type.
They can't be nominated by your peers, so
that's a problem. Not the type. Yeah. That is definitely a problem.
We only talk to each other.
Right. All right. Okay. Are you ready?
We're ready.
Are you ready?
Let's finish this off.
So we're in the top 5 and 5. Just imagine. Okay. Just pretend it's an hour ago. Okay. That's the best way to do this.
Let's just not lose track of where we are in the middle of this, and then we have nowhere to go.
I did lose track, and I thought we were done with it when we weren't. But we are at
number 3.
Nancy Grace has weighed in on the case of Scott Peterson, who may get a new trial for the 2002 murder of his wife, which she believes would be a big mistake. Nancy was approached by TMZ. Oh, this is just perfect. This is a there are no victims in this crime right here between Nancy Grace and TMZ. And she was asked about Peterson's request for a mistrial and said, well,
rehabilitated. Listen, Scott Peterson is kicked back right now behind bars, having a big glass of Pruno. You know what that is? That's homemade hooch.
Wow.
All right? He's having a glass of Pruno talking to his online girlfriends right now.
Wow.
So I don't think he's too worried about what we're talking about. I went to law school, but you couldn't pay me enough money to defend Scott Peterson. I'd rather go out there and sweep the streets before I would defend Scott Peterson.
All righty, then. You know where she stands.
Okay.
I like how TMZ just doesn't even have to do any work. Just, hey, what do you think about Scott Peterson? Boom. She's off.
And this, by the way, is not Drew Peterson. This was the Peterson before Drew Peterson. This is Scott Peterson. Mm-hmm. Remember this case? This is from early 2000s. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of those, you know, first thing. And Nancy was all over it. Scott Peterson. Where's Tot Mom? Wait, that's another one.
That's right. She covered that one extensively, yeah. Too.
Oh, God.
Lacey Peterson was his spouse, remember?
Right. Lacey Peterson was the woman that disappeared. And they were, yeah. Okay. All right. Checking in at
number two.
Peer pressure is real, man. Woody Harrelson made an appearance on the Ellen DeGeneres Show today where he opened up about what finally made him smoke pot again after quitting for 2 whole years.
I heard you quit smoking pot.
Well, I quit smoking pot this morning. I stopped about... No, I did quit, and then ran into this fella named Willie. And Willie, you know, he's a sweet guy. Everybody talks about how great Willie is. I mean, he's one of the... You wish he was your president. He was never comfortable with me quitting. It just bothered him. Finally, he passes me the pen after I win a big pot. We're playing poker, and I'm in a celebratory mood, and he hands me that pen, and I just snatch it. I go, oh, so, anyway, I take a big draw off of it, and he says, welcome home, son.
Oh, man. how does a return to a habit end up on daytime television, right?
I don't know.
I mean, what if you...
Didn't used to talk about that stuff.
Yeah, what if it was like Johnny Depp and a return to, like, you know, crack? What would that... I mean, what is that? Like, would that be okay?
Don't think so.
My dealer was upset that I was no longer buying crack from him, so I went and I got a crack pipe, and I had a very long draw of it, and I ate Amber Heard, and I just said to myself, welcome home to your own crack.
Nobody likes a quitter.
It's true.
Johnny Depp has a lot of problems, too, right now. Financial problems, yeah, he's got girlfriend issues, you know.
Somehow. Although Woody Harrelson, I gotta just say something here. If you've not seen Three Billboards, the movie.
Oh, gosh. He's so good in it. Francis Dormond, oh my gosh.
I know that he was nominated for Best Supporting Actor, and it went to Sam Rockwell, and Sam Rockwell was very good in it. But Woody Harrelson's performance in that is one of the best performances of this century on film. Because you feel for that guy. Mm. From the second he appears on the screen, and even though you don't necessarily agree with him, you feel for him. He is amazing in that. He was amazing in True Detective. He's one of the great actors of all times. And, you know, I think maybe because he wasn't stoned when he was doing that movie, which is why it was so good, this worries me.
You should try it for a little bit.
I'll tell you what, I'll never do a movie without being stoned again.
Thank you, Johnny.
Yeah, Johnny, yeah. He's gotten in some other troubles lately. Didn't he attack somebody?
I don't.
Trouble.
Today's what he is. You know where we are?
Where are we? A crew member on the
set. Number one.
Bath savings are on at Menards. Stop in for super low prices on a wide assortment of...
Oh, this is sad.
What?
That guy, the Menards guy at Menards! Mm-hmm. He always said when he would pronounce Menards, it was like his jaw was broken.
Hmm.
He's passed away.
Oh.
He's passed away. That was Ray Zamata. He was featured in advertising for the Eau Claire, Wisconsin-based Menard chain, starting from 1976 until 1998. Known around the world as the Menards guy, or at least around Wisconsin as the Menards guy, in Chicago. Listen, he was a Milwaukee native, World War II veteran.
Oh, how cool.
And do you remember the Menards rap?
Ready now, casemen, swing them good. They're all made of natural wood. Double hung. I'm having trouble with it. Okay, I'll try it again.
Yeah, it's still fine with the song we're singing.
Yeah. Ready now, casemen, swing them good. They're all made of natural wood. Double hung's promenade from Anderson, the finest made. Awnings too now up and down with PermaShield, the best around. Patio doors that sashay right, close them all now. That's tight. The PermaShield door is priced just right at $688.
Oh.
Worked hard, man. That's hard work.
Nailed it.
Not all of us were meant to rap.
No.
By the way, I like that guy's chops.
Thank you, radio guy.
91
years old. Mm-hmm. Ray Zamano. Then the Menards guy.
I bet he saved big money in his life.
Save big money
at Menards. It was like grandpa yelling at you about a ceiling fan. You know, I mean, there was constantly an ugly ceiling fan on sale at Menards in that commercial. And you're like, I know why it's on sale. I still don't want it.
It's cheap enough and it does the trick. You're like, all right, I'm okay with it, because the way he was very convincing.
That's true.
In his delivery.
That is true. And Menards, I don't know, it's somehow you can see through the aisles faster than, like, you go to Home Depot, mm-hmm. and the aisles are too high.
Yes, you could see everything, lighting, you know exactly where you're going.
Right. You're like, you're always in a cave when you're at Home Depot. You're in, like, it's sort of like Raiders of the Lost Ark. You're not quite sure how far you are, you know, before you find the...
And they all look the same but different, and you're like, wait.
Was I just in this aisle? Was I not in this aisle? Was this nuts? No, these are bolts. Wait, is this? What is this? But at Menards, it's organized better. I would like to give Menards a little bit of credit for that.
Plus, Menards, they have, like, so many options now. You go get some frozen pizzas there if you need. You get your dog food there.
Yeah.
Pick up a ceiling fan.
Yeah, they've kind of gone a little...
branched out.
Yeah, a little Costco-ish. Yeah, it is. Menards. Yeah. All right, we got to go. This was the Top 5 at 6 o'clock. Don't ask.
The Top 5 at 5.
The traffic brought to you by Illinois Department of Transportation.